Babe.
No, your kids aren't here.
My girls.
What girls?
My girls. Oh. Lorna, second from the left.
Okay.
If she takes on smoke, she'll never recover.
Hey, this one.
And Cindy. Cindy, below her. Cindy, I just gave her a blowout.
Greetings, it's the Duke here.
And I'm Lady J, and this is Up Schitt's Creek, the podcast.
Dedicated to all things Schitt's Creek.
How are you, the Duke?
I'm good, we're here.
Oh my God.
It's season six, y'all. Man. So we've all seen it.
We've all seen it.
I hope.
I mean, if you're listening to this,
yeah. I really hope you've seen it, because there's going to be a lot of spoilers if you haven't.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm happy.
I'm
happy, yeah, that this show is back in action. We've been waiting what seems like forever for this season to begin. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy that we're in it now.
Oh, yeah.
This is new for us.
This whole setup is very new, yes.
Yeah.
For the first time, we haven't had months to sit with any given episode before talking about it.
Bear with us, guys, because as we're speaking, we're probably like gathering our thoughts,
formulating them as they come. Yep.
Yeah. So just as this is new for you guys, this is new for us as well. But it's going to be
fun. How did it feel for you seeing new content? Because that hasn't been the case for like a better part of a year at this point.
Right. Exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting. I found myself, I think, laughing more than usual.
Oh, interesting.
Because I think it was just because of the excitement,
yeah,
that I was laughing.
Yeah.
Because every little thing that would happen, I'm like, oh, because we've seen all this in, you know, the teasers.
True. Yeah.
And I was surprised at how much ended up being the first episode that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, having said that, I'm more excited for the rest of the season because I'm sure it's going to be a lot of stuff that we haven't seen in those teasers.
Exactly.
But it was good. I mean, it was really exciting. I think that's the perfect word to describe how I felt watching the first episode. How about you?
Same. I think there was so much anticipation
leading
up to the moment of 9 p.m. on Tuesday, January 7th. Like, it was like so much energy and like built up, like even almost anxiety, I think, in me, you know? And then it started and it was like no time had passed, and like the way that it all began to was very like, oh, we're right back in it now, and it felt like, oh yeah, this is my home, these are the people I love, and it was like really nice to be back and seeing them do and say things I've never seen them do and say before. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, for a brief moment, I forgot that we had ended the last season with Moira in the closet because we jumped to Moira in the closet.
Yep.
And I'm like, ah, shit, with this Sia wig she's wearing is the best way I can describe it.
It really is such an amazing reveal, her in that wig.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. Let's just get into it, shall we?
Let's
do it. This is episode 601, titled Smoke Signals.
I like the sound of that.
And the pop TV synopsis.
Wow.
Is David scouts a potential wedding venue while Johnny and Moira have a romantic picnic by the creek.
This is the first season that we're not dealing with a Netflix synopsis.
That's true.
What? We're now dealing with pop TVs.
That's synopsis. True. Yes.
Huh.
Yes. That'll be interesting.
This is going to be interesting, yeah.
I wonder if they'll be better. Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if they'll be any better or worse.
I don't know. We'll time will tell.
I got to say, I don't love this as a synopsis.
It doesn't sound as interesting.
No. Like, and it's not even like that good. Like, just as a synopsis of the episode.
Like somebody just sat there like, oh, I guess I'll just write these words. Type this in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, come on, guy.
Come on, pop guy.
Yeah. Get with it. So, okay, that's the synopsis.
That's fair. Well, it's fine.
And we, as we told you the last episode, the season finale, we have a new segment, A Word. Come on, baby, tell me what's the word, a word up.
a word.
And as we explained last time, this is where we both choose a word that we feel describes this particular episode. As always, we encourage you guys to share your word with us. You can leave it in the comments and any of our social media. You can message us.
Yep.
However you'd like to share your word, by all means, please do that.
So why don't you start us off?
So my word for this episode is genuine.
Mm.
Very simple yet meaningful word. Truly what something is said to be authentic. Of a person, emotion, or action, sincere.
Mm.
The reason I chose this word was because everybody is very genuine in this particular episode. Whether it's them expressing their feelings towards one another, especially in the storyline with Patrick, David, Stevie, and Alexis.
Mm-hmm.
But also Johnny. Without getting too much into it, because we're going to do that, obviously, when Moira, not specifically when she tells him that she wants to kind of take a break or what have you from her career, but when she decides that she doesn't, that she wants to jump back into it, he has no problem being genuine in that moment and showing his concern. Like, what if this doesn't happen the way you think it's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
He's very real. Like, he's worried about her. He's worried about what could possibly happen if she's disappointed again. With David and Alexis specifically, they have no problem letting each other know about one another, especially David, which I'm actually really proud of him in that, because he's telling Alexis, like, you want to leave. Sorry if I want to plan things because you just want to go. I don't care anymore. I'm going to do me. I'm going to do this wedding. And there's kind of like a rawness to how everybody is acting in this episode. So for me, it's just very genuine. It's real. It's who they are. And they have no problem expressing that in this.
My word is stasis, which is defined as a state of equilibrium. And I think the reason that I feel like this episode represents a stasis for everybody is because in many ways, they're all a little bit like still stuck in this moment in time. There's a sense of like, I know that there's a whole season's worth of stuff that's going to happen and more opportunities for these characters to continually evolve and grow and change and all these things. But in this episode in particular, I feel like Moira is still in the closet. David is letting his like inner, for lack of a better word, like demons, you know, out a little bit. And Stevie definitely expresses a feeling of like not really knowing what's next and wanting it, but not knowing how that looks, you know. And then with Alexis too, especially like being still here in the creek despite plans, you know? So I think I just was sort of overwhelmed by this sense of, as much as these people have grown and changed and evolved over the last five seasons, like in this moment in time, they're all still very much here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's where that's coming from. I don't know.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And so with that, let's do it.
Oh, let's do it.
Oh, my goodness. Where to begin?
I guess at the beginning.
A very good place to start.
Alexis is packing her suitcase. What is she doing? I mean,
seeing the state of disarray of her myriad suitcases
but
in
also,
the room.
This is very cartoonish.
It is
the
very
way
cartoonish.
She's packing. Like, she has clothes that are falling out of her suitcase.
And she's not even trying to zip.
No.
Like, I don't quite understand, like, what she's struggling with other than just closing it, I guess.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I guess for comedy, you know, okay, cool. But also, like, come on.
Yeah, it's a little
you know?
Much.
I don't know.
It's a little much.
That's the first thing that struck me. Like, this is how you're going to begin this. It just felt weird. I don't know.
But I will say it is a bold way to begin the season.
Yeah.
Because as you know, like you and I have talked about this, and I don't know if I've ever shared this on the pod, but like my thing is every season always begins with a shriek or outburst from Moira.
Yeah, that's we've always been said
the,
that.
That's been the system. System.
And it's not Moira this time.
It's not Moira this time. We are getting grunts and ughs from Alexis, which we get a lot of this episode.
You know what saved this scene for me is how it started. Okay, so it started with her grunting, like you said, her weirdly packing her suitcase. But then it, like, the shot changes to both Patrick and David standing there watching, staring at her. Like, stupidly pass the suitcase, and they're like, do you need help? Like, are you okay? So that's like, okay, hello you. Like, here we are with Patrick
also
and David.
Struck by the fact that Patrick's at the motel. Like, yeah, we don't ever see him there.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Is it just me? Or did you notice it was very awkward? The way Patrick was standing the way he was carrying himself.
Oh, yeah.
Very strange.
I don't think that's an accident. I think it was on purpose because, well, because I think that's the point, right, is like the juxtaposition of seeing Patrick in the motel room.
Okay.
Because that's – once he's been inside the room and it's when David's changing into his baseball gear. The other times he's ever been at the motel, it's like outside, either at the barbecue or like picking or dropping David off or whatever.
I mean, he came in for the barbecue to like say he was sorry and all that stuff.
But I think having him there is awkward in and of itself. But I think the awkwardness is highlighted by the fact that when they're all going into Moira and Johnny's room, David's like, you can just stay here. Like, you don't have to come any further.
Yeah.
And I think that's meant to like highlight like Patrick is a little bit uncomfortable here. Like, it's not his normal setting.
His arms are, like, very close together. He's got
looks
shrunken down.
Thing.
Mm-hmm. It's very strange, but I think you're right. I think this somehow, it does. It plays into this whole storyline, this whole idea of David trying to protect him and keep him away at the same time from his family and this situation.
Yeah, and not just protect Patrick, but like protect his relationship with Patrick, because it's like he doesn't want Patrick seeing his mom in a fucking closet, like wearing a Sia wig, you know?
It's a lot for anybody for anybody to witness, you know? They know what it's like because they've lived it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, the very first season, hello, they have to deal with like shifts with her and you handled this breakdown, I had to handle this breakdown, you know, that kind of a thing. Mind you, this hasn't happened for some time now, but here we are full circle once again with Moira.
Oh, yeah.
And you're right. I mean, Patrick didn't know David in a time when this was happening. Again, sitting here realizing things. This is also new.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It's him just going into protection mode. David, that is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I noticed that immediately. How he was just, I don't know, he looked very small. And I'm not used to Patrick looking, he's smaller than David.
True.
But not that small. It was different.
Well, it's also the angle, too, I think, specifically in that two shot, you know, with like against Alexis on the suitcases and
plus
stuff.
It doesn't help that she's wearing these heels that are like.
That's true, too. Yeah. She's such a giant in this episode.
All legs.
But yeah, it's all, again, I have faith in the show and I feel like it's all.
You're right.
On purpose, you know? Yeah. And like Dan directed this episode.
You know, not a bad job, Dan.
No. An amazing solo directorial debut for him. Mm-hmm. Like, and he wrote it and everything. Like, this is like Dan's stamp all over this. And it feels good. Like, it feels like, okay, we're in good hands here.
There's a lot of emotions like coming out from left and right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, one second, Dan, or David, I should say, is giddy as shit. Like, he's jumping up and down.
Oh, my God. I don't think we've ever seen him that way.
No. And the next minute, he's, like, telling Alexis where she can go with herself. So it's a lot. And again, one minute, you have Moira in a closet, not knowing what's going to happen with her life. And the next minute, she has this, like, epiphany of what her life is meant to be.
Okay, we need to talk about Moira in this whole episode because I've got some thoughts.
Okay.
But before we jump too far ahead, so let's keep the thread of what's happening, right? So we, you know, Alexis is trying and failing to pack her suitcases. Moira starts calling from the other room. She has made a little nest for herself in that closet. You can see like a blanket.
Yes,
and
a pillow.
This is like her home for the last week since the news of the movie being shelved. And it's like, you can tell like her makeup is running. Has she even washed her face in a week? Like it's all over the place.
This is another thing that we need to talk about too, is the timeline here, because I get very confused with this talk with when Stevie comes into play, how like Alexis 1 minute is telling her when she left her double fisting drinks
at the wrap party
last night.
Mm-hmm.
So how long did this show go for?
A week.
Okay.
So today is 1 week since the events of 5/14, which was the opening night of Cabaret. And now, because we knew that the show was only going to run for a week, which is why Alexis is now ready to join Ted, right?
Yes.
And so it's been a week, and the wrap party of Cabaret was last night, which is, you know, apparently Stevie went hard at that wrap party, fucking triple fisting it at one point.
Another person whose makeup is to shit, but okay. Love it. Okay, so yes, Moira.
Yeah, so Moira's in the closet. We learn that she's been in there pretty much for a solid week. We don't even know, like, I would love to know if she had been going to the week's worth of Cabaret shows and coming back and hiding back in the closet. Like, that's a little detail that I would love to know more about.
I think that maybe that is going to come out. Because you think? I feel like no. I feel like maybe Jocelyn was the one who kind of took it.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, that would be interesting.
Dawson has it together. I mean, she was ready to take it on.
Yeah.
When Stevie wasn't showing up.
So here we get our first Moira Say What.
Yes, we do.
Of the episode.
Moira Say What.
Peregrination is a word I had never heard before.
Never.
And yet, oddly feels like it's not that crazy. You know what I mean? It feels like a pretty like standard word that we just don't use. I don't know. That's me apologizing for myself. But a peregrination is a long meandering journey.
Okay.
So not quite the best word maybe for a quick wedding venue check, but classic Moira, right? To have to say that she unfortunately can't squire them on today's wedding venue peregrination, which will be the heavy-hearted part of her day. Not the fact that Alexis is leaving for six months.
Also, when Johnny's like, look who came to visit you, no mention of Alexis.
John, remind me to reprimand that latch. It's been awfully moody today.
Well, good morning, sweetheart. Look who's come to see you.
Finally, I'll have the continental breakfast with the fresh squeezed grapefruit juice, orange pekoe tea.
No, Moira, it's David and Patrick. Don't we have something we want to say?
Yes, thank you, John. Sadly, I won't be able to squire you for today's wedding venue peregrination.
You invited Mom? She's literally been asleep in a closet for a week.
Just know that missing this will be the heavy-hearted part of my day.
I actually really feel for Alexis in this episode.
I do too.
Because she's not bothering anybody. She's not doing anything wrong. No. She's just, like, living. And everybody is not including her. And it's very hurtful. You know, like, I'm still here, guys. I'm still here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's, I don't know.
It's hard for me to talk about this now before we've gotten further into the episode. But I do agree with you. I think that like she's struggling with the fact that like, you know, yes, I'm leaving today, but like, I'm like, why do people act like I'm not here? Like I'm standing in the room and Johnny says Patrick and David are here and doesn't make any mention of me. Like, what the fuck, you know?
And also like not even mentioning to her the fact that they were going to go looking at wedding venues. David knows how much she wants to be a part of this.
Yeah. But and then his defense to that is like, well, you can't shut up about how you're leaving and can't wait to go and get your beach waves back. So excuse me for not wanting to include you. That's also fair.
Yeah.
What they're both missing here is the fact that they're both excluding each other and like trying to like convince each other or themselves that they're not gonna like hate being apart from each other.
Right. They're very stubborn.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And they don't want to admit in any way that this is sad, that this is like, they're not going to be together for a long time, and they're used to being together all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is where their stubbornness comes into play, I think.
Yeah. I mean, and Alexis even says, like, later on when she's talking to Stevie, it's like, okay, I'm sorry that I'm trying to convince myself under any means necessary that this is the right move for me. Yeah. Like she needs to even when she's struggling with the suitcase, right? And they're like, do you need help? And she's like, no, I just can't wait to be in the Galapagos. And, like, you know, she has to constantly tell herself, this is a vacation. I want to go. This is going to be good for me. I need this. She needs that narrative to be true.
Well, it's very much what she was doing last season as well when it came up. Mm-hmm. When her and Ted would talk about it, she turned it into this like tropical island vacation, mm-hmm. you know, sipping these fruity drinks on a beach somewhere, and that's not at all what it was.
Yeah.
But that's what she had to do to psych herself up, like, to get into it.
Yeah.
To convince herself.
So Moira is like back in that closet, you know, she's not going to go to the wedding venue. The next time we cut back to the motel room, the closet door is closed and smoke starts filling into the room via the vent. Now, I don't know about you, but as I was watching this scene, all like she's like being funny, you know, talking about like, you know, turn your alarm off, stop using that smoky cologne, is someone vaping? And that's all funny. But the entire time I was like, oh no. Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
No.
What is happening?
I thought this was going to happen. This little scene was going to play, and then we were going to cut to
hotel is burnt down.
And her outside with fire trucks and everything, and the hotel is burnt down.
Yes. I was like, oh my God.
I was yelling at my daughter while I was watching this going, the motel's going to burn down.
I was like beside myself the entire time. I was like, oh no, oh no. And then sure enough, Roland comes running in, which thank God he did.
I know.
Like, did he? I hope it's because, like, he heard her or something, because she starts, like, screaming and banging on the thing.
Obviously, he saw that it was on fire because he put those things in.
Yeah, but did he know? Like, I mean, because, like, how did he know to burst into
the alarm.
Room?
He heard it.
Okay.
The fire alarm.
I guess.
That's the only thing I can think of. Because if it was going off in her room, I can only imagine that it was going off in the room that he was in or whatever.
I guess I just mean, like, okay, so there's a fire. He knows there's a fire. He started it. But, like, I guess it's just because he heard her banging thing, like, to know to go in. Because for all he knows, like, there's nobody in the rooms. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I just want to believe that Roland is a hero right now.
Yeah.
And that he just went in there, you know, all heroed out.
That's kind of what I mean.
Anybody was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the maybe this is my favorite line of the entire episode. I'm being annulled by a chancy door clasp. Is probably my favorite line of maybe ever. I'm being annulled by a chancy door clasp. It goes down in history. It's fucking amazing.
Even in the face of like near death, she can still manage to make shit sound so fucking poetic.
God damn it. Fucking Moira, man. I love her.
I need to ask you a question about something that Roland says here.
Okay. Yeah.
When he tells Moira, I don't usually have a beer before 10:30, what the fuck?
I think it's because he's smelling alcohol on her breath.
Oh.
He goes, geez, Moira, I usually wait till 10:30 before I have a beer.
Oh, okay. Can I just tell you what my first thought was when that happened? It was when she says, carry me, and he throws her over his shoulder, the whole, like, bottoms up thing. So I'm like, Jesus Christ. So I thought it was just that kind of a thing.
That's clean.
But what you're saying makes more sense.
No, because I like the idea of Moira, like, just having been holed up in that closet drinking herself to slumber every day.
I mean, of course.
Yeah. And then, she can't walk because her legs are in slumber. Carry me. Moira. And then, of course, the whole thing with the wigs.
The wigs.
And she can't let her wigs take on smoke. And so she's sitting out there wrapped in a blanket, literally holding all of her wigs in her lap in such a state of disarray. I don't think she's ever not cared enough about her wigs right. to just hold them willy-nilly.
But also,
like
I've
that.
Never seen her eyes that big before, where she's just like, ha.
And it's also like, I think there's, okay, so this gets into what I was alluding to earlier when I was like, we have so much to talk about with her. Uh-huh. Because as she's sitting there, right, wearing this hilarious over the top wig, yes. all white and crazy layered, and then like carrying all her wigs in her lap and like sort of in a state of disarray. And she's telling Johnny, oh, I've had a moment of lucidity, mm-hmm. and I realized that I've been putting all of my hopes and dreams into this career and this industry that like has literally been spitting on my face since day one. And like, fuck that noise, never again. I don't buy it.
When she's saying that.
When she's her, saying
you
all
buy
that
her
stuff,
words, you don't buy what she's saying.
I don't like, I mean, I understand that that's what she's saying, but it's hard for me to wrap my head around the fact that like all it took was a measly fire scare.
Yeah.
To like knock her out of her state of being she's been in for a week.
Yeah.
And as she's, because as she's talking to Johnny, and she's saying how lucid she is and this how this is what she wants, she sounds crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I, maybe it's because of, like you said, her eyes are so big and her crazy wig and everything. But, like, as I'm looking at her, like, I don't believe the words that are coming out of her mouth.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that Moira is being very much Moira in this moment where – any situation that she's in is going to play into her thoughts or her emotions, everything right then and there. Mm-hmm. So she's going to say however she's feeling in that moment and she's going to run with it because that's what she does.
Okay. All right.
You know? And then there's Johnny, as always, the voice of reason, like, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves here.
Right.
He knows what could potentially be coming
right.
Moments from now, if not hours, days, whatever, whenever anything changes in right. the least bit.
Okay.
So I think for Moira, this is, again, just one of those situations where she's excited about how she's feeling.
Okay.
And she's just speaking it out loud.
And so it is a little bit manic?
I think so.
It is meant to be that way?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's fair.
She's very much like David. I mean, obviously, she's always been very much like David. But especially in this moment where something is, you know, so life-changing as it was, you know, mm-hmm. she could have burned down in this fire. The motel could have burned down. She could have, whatever could have happened. And with David also, when something is so life-changing, like when he got held up at the store and it was traumatic and oh my God, and I don't know what could have happened. And they say what's at the top of their head. They say whatever they're feeling in that moment and they run with it. And then just as Johnny is Moira's voice of reason, mm-hmm. Patrick is David's and mm-hmm. is like, yeah, you good? Are we okay? Did we survive this? Are we going to move forward?
That's fair.
You know?
That's really fair, actually. I think that makes sense now. Because I was struggling with that. I was really struggling. I was like, am I the audience supposed to just go along with what she's saying here and believe, as she does in this moment, that it's all over?
Yeah, I certainly didn't like watch that scene and think, oh my God, Moira is not going to be in this business anymore.
Okay, good.
Like, no.
Because I was like, no. Is that what I'm supposed to be feeling? Because I don't.
I didn't. Okay. You're not alone. I did not feel that way at all.
Good. Because that makes me feel better.
Yeah, I, you know, and it's so funny that they immediately threw it into this episode as well, where things change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just thought, what, until the next mm-hmm. movie comes along?
Right.
Or you know, somebody reaches out to you or...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And it's what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean...
Exactly. But I will say, though, I was a little bit, like, in the next scene when they decide that they're going to take a picnic down by the creek, which, hello, titular creek. Finally.
We see Schitt's Creek.
Finally. It only took us 6 years.
I know. But it's there.
It's here. when they're, you know, strolling down and they're talking, and she's talking about how she's done and... she just needs to call her agent and be done with it, whatever. In that moment, I felt more like I believe what the words that are coming out of her mouth. I think because, like, she looked more like herself and she seemed to be speaking the way she usually does and all of that. You know, it wasn't as over the top as it was sitting outside of the room. Yeah. That's when I was, like, lulled into a sense of, like, well, okay.
How funny, because for me in that moment, when she said she was going to call her agent, I'm like, well, here we go.
I know, yeah.
He's going to tell her some great new thing that's come up and... That's out the window. Yeah.
And I will say that is also when the trailers and the teasers come into play because we've seen tidbits of future things. So, and I was like, well, she's calling her agent. I know that stuff. So that's probably what's going to happen. Like, that is a little bit of a spoiler, I guess.
And we've learned that Interflix
has
picked up the Crows movie.
I love that it's Interflix.
Me too.
I will say that's such cool nod.
To
Netflix and the
who
fact
picked
that,
him
like,
up and made them you know, here in the States, that is
exactly.
But yeah, I thought that was very cool as well. She's in it now,
right
again
back in it.
Here we go. And before she makes that call though, did you see my eyes? I went, I did the sexy time eyes. Her and Johnny start talking about a time when they skinny dipped. They got in the nude together. They had their own sexy times, you know, and they want to relive that.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny is a little hesitant, and I mean rightfully so.
Sure.
We don't know how many people visit Schitt's Creek on a daily basis.
That's true.
Who knows? We're led to believe that they haven't been here before.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she has to go make that phone call, and she leaves Johnny to undress and apparently get in the water.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
He fully immersed himself in this idea of skinny dipping in the creek.
Because cut to Moira on the phone talking to her agent.
Yes.
And getting the good news about the Crows movie. Johnny, she turns around and Johnny is walking with, what is it, Officer Cornwall?
Officer Fishing Pole.
And Johnny is a little wet.
Mm-hmm.
His shirt's a little unbuttoned.
Pretty damp.
Yeah. And looking sexier than shit.
You think?
Fuck yeah.
That was doing it for you?
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely 100%.
I think I've never been less attracted to Johnny Rose than seeing him wet and matted and stuff.
Ooh, it worked.
Okay. All right. I see you.
So much so that I almost chose him for my who or what
best. Oh, shit. Okay.
It was a tough one for me. Okay. I almost chose him, though. But yeah, that worked. I just want to see him in the water. Having to get out because he was slipping on moss
the algae.
Or the algae
hanging onto a fishing line.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
I know. A naked Johnny Rose struggling to get out of the water. That's something.
That is something.
I do want to talk about before all this goes down, though, when they're talking about that said previous experience in Evian by the lake where Johnny lost his Patek Philippe and everything. They say that it was right after Alexis ended things with Sean Penn.
Wow.
And then they also later say that it was 15 years ago. Huh. And I'm sorry. Okay. I've done my research on Sean Penn, and I know that he's got a penchant for younger girls and all that shit. But 15 years ago, Alexis was 16 years old. I am not okay with that.
I don't know. I
am not okay with 16-year-old Alexis fucking Sean Penn.
I mean, no. No.
Not okay.
No.
Incorrect.
Right.
Also, he was still married.
Oh.
15 years ago, he was still married
to Robin
Wright.
Sean Penn stays married and just like has these crazy affairs with people all the time.
Yeah, I did a lot of research because I wanted to be like factually accurate as I was speaking about this. Like,
yeah.
I wanted to know when did his relationship with Robin Wright end, and like was he known to have been like flirting and cheating on her with like multiple other women at that time and all this stuff. And like all for all intents and purposes, basically his relationship with Robin like ended in 2007, but they didn't actually separate until 2010 or like divorce till 2010. But like still, timeline wise, 2007 is less than 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And like, it's just...
I also wonder if that wasn't on purpose that they did that. Kind of like speaking or poking, you know, alluding to the grossness sometimes that is Hollywood.
Yeah, there's no way that was an accident. Like, they didn't fuck up and say those dates and those people and all that shit. That's not an accident. I just, like, I'm like so icked out by the fact that
do you like Sean Penn?
I don't care.
I don't either. I don't either. But yeah, I don't know. I think it was hilarious that they chose to say that.
And yeah.
Even more hilarious that you noticed it.
Dude, Of course I noticed it. Anytime they mention anything about ages and stuff, it immediately like piques my interest. Yeah. Cause I love to make a timeline, you know, and have a timeline of events in my mind. And even the timeline of Alexis's age, like I'm basing all of this on the fact that in season one, she's 28 years old. And if every two seasons is about a year, then she's now 3 years older. So she's 31. So 15 years ago, she was 16 or whatever.
Yikes.
Yeah.
See? Okay, well, that's uncomfortable.
Icky. It's icky.
But also a lot of name drops in this episode.
Besides Sean Penn?
Oh, yeah. Kate Winslet.
Oh, right. And Billy Zane.
Billy Zane. That was it. Yeah.
Also, lots of ex talk from David.
Yes, I noticed that as well.
Girlfriend, somebody weird left him for a stuffed animal.
He had to plan an intervention for his ex-girlfriend.
Shocking, no one
in an hour. Wow, yeah. The people that David knew.
Oh God,
or his life in Schitt's Creek is just like
yeah.
Well, all of them really.
That's true.
But more so the
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, yeah. So Johnny gets picked up by Officer Cornwall for skinny dipping and, well, for indecent exposure, at which time Moira gives him the good news, I guess, that the movie is back on. And just when she thought she was out, they pulled her back in.
Sucked her right back into this world. Johnny's a little... Nah.
Yeah. I think he's sad. Or not sad.
I think
sad.
He's disheartened by the news. Damn it.
That's the thing about Johnny, though, is like he will never be anything but supportive.
Of course.
Of her.
Of course.
And I think this is like because he's so supportive and because he loves and cares about her so much, like he sees, you know, as you alluded to earlier, too, like he sees what this fucking industry has done to her and how it has affected her and continues to affect her. And seeing how up and down she is, like two seconds ago, she was like ready to be out. Now she's jumping off the walls, excited that the movie's back on. Like this kind of up and down instability in Moira's moods being affected by this industry, like it's not good for her.
And so it's more concern, right?
Absolutely. Than anything. I think so.
Because, I mean, it's been so long since she's been this way.
Yeah.
And for her to be right back in it again, damn.
I know.
You know, and I'm sure inside he's like internally just screaming. Like,
I know.
Damn
like,
it.
Get a grip, Moira.
We were almost through this. We were almost out of it. Yeah. Beginning a life where she doesn't need to worry about these types of disappointments. Mm-hmm. And you know, for so long, Moira was able to handle disappointment so well.
True.
For years.
True.
But they were on her terms. Everything was on her terms. Does that make sense? Even when the disappointments came, she was ready for them. They weren't bigger scale.
Interesting.
They were smaller scale.
Okay.
But now that, you know, the possibility of her having this comeback and things happening, I mean, yeah, she thought she was going to be right back in it again. And she was going to be. I mean, that's what she was led to believe.
Now it seems like that might happen. I mean, who knows?
Hey, I mean, just like Johnny said, whatever makes her happy, roller coaster.
At the cost of her sanity, I think, is where I draw the line.
It really is.
Because I want her to be successful. I want this to be the comeback of her career and, like, launch her to new heights. I want all the success in the world for her. I just don't want her to lose her fucking mind over
it.
And because the older she gets and like the more these ups and downs happen at rapid velocity, like the harder it is for her to stabilize around them. And it's not good for her or anybody around her.
Right.
And just it sucks.
I was going to say it takes a toll on her. It certainly takes a toll on her and Johnny's marriage, too. Because Johnny at some point is going to be like, Dude,
I know how many times can he sit by the closet and like console her while she cries and freaks out and stuff, you know, like it's rough, but we'll see.
And, you know, I also have to give it to him, too, because as much as Moira had a loss in her career, so did he. And he's here, though, being successful and building another one for himself.
True.
So I got to give it to him, the patience that he has, because he knows that there's a possibility of this happening for her. It scares him, yes, but he's going to be there and, you know, be her strength, be her support in this. While their relationship is fair in that sense, It's just she's the one that continues to be disappointed time and time again.
Well, I think, too, because for her, the highs are very high and the lows are very low. And that is tough to navigate. We'll see.
Oh, Moira.
We'll see. We've got 13 more episodes for this to pan out. So we'll see.
Oh, also, Alan Tipper Gore.
Oh, yeah.
I had to mention that one.
The ayahuasca trip. Yes.
My God.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
So while all this is going on with Moira and Johnny,
yes,
our foursome, David, Patrick, Alexis, and Stevie, have gone to, have embarked on their wedding venue tour, and they pull up to this beautiful mansion place.
It's gorgeous.
Amazing. Can't believe that exists anywhere near Schitt's Creek.
Right.
It's in, and it's Elmridge, I believe. Elmridge.
Elmridge, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Elmridge Mansion.
Yes.
Or Manor. Who cares?
Manor.
One of the two.
One of them.
Everything is Elm something in this show. I love it. Yeah. So Elmridge Manor, and they're greeted by Clive.
Clive.
Ah, welcome to Elmridge Manor. And you must be the happy couple.
Oh, no, not quite.
Oh, ladies, I'm so sorry. Congratulations. Champagne?
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Hi. David Rose, I'm the one getting married. And this is my partner, Patrick.
Hi.
So,
gentlemen, please forgive me. I looked at your friend's face and thought someone had just come from her makeup trial. Now, if our grooms and the other couple would like to follow me, I will begin our tour.
Wonderful.
So they pull up to this, like, viewpoint where they're all standing there.
Ugh.
And then we get the opposing shot of what they're looking at. And fuck me.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
Where is that, I wonder?
I have no
idea. That must
be
somewhere in Canada where they filmed it or whatever.
But it reminded me of the Versace. Is that? No.
Versailles?
Versailles. Mm. Why was I thinking Versace?
Well, it's similar.
Probably doesn't sound the same. yes, the Versailles. It reminded me of that, but also this venue is like right up David's alley.
Oh, yeah.
Because first of all, the talk of like everything is local and, you know, the fresh bacon, as we know, and everything else is fresh
meats
from surrounding
and
farms and stuff. But also the venue is extra, just like
it is,
David. Yeah.
It,
a little gaudy.
The manicured lawns and the gorgeous flowers. And I almost don't even think it's that extra. It's just on the other side of perfect. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's perfection. It's like something out of a movie or like out of a magazine spread, you know? And it's amazing.
It's beautiful. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that many weddings are had there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's perfect, but not so perfect as the price for this place because what the fuck?
When they get that pricing sheet, David legit looks like he's going to cry.
Yes.
Like, his face and his voice break. Like,
it
he's
does.
About to cry. Because he fell in love with this place.
I know. And Stevie put it perfectly. She's like, are these in dollars?
Yeah.
And David wants to know if they have a copper package somehow, because this is not working.
I also don't appreciate Clive's flippancy about it. He's like, no, we can't accommodate that.
After he,
like,
just said we can accommodate just about anything.
Yeah, it's like, come on, bitch.
And then later on, he accommodates.
Yeah, I know. Like, what's the deal with Clive?
What's the deal with Clive? I don't know, maybe he knows Gwen. I don't know. I'm surprised Gwen didn't, like, refer them or something like that.
But yeah, so it's, like, heartbreaking
it
until
is.
It isn't, because they had a last-minute cancellation, and they have a discount anyway on the first Sunday of every month, so he's willing to give them an extra 30% off, and David gets all excited, except that a month from now, if they were to do the wedding, Alexis wouldn't be there.
Right.
And here's, again, another example, right? Like, he says it'll cut out the dead weight. And she's like, oh, excuse me. So that, I guess that means I'm dead weight. That is such an ouch.
That's ouch.
He totally didn't hear himself say that out loud before he said it, you know?
Yeah, that for sure he didn't. But he takes it like 20 million steps further.
I know.
And everything else he says after that.
I know.
And it's cringy a little bit.
It is.
And even Stevie and Patrick are like, oh, David, mm-hmm. like, what are you saying to your sister? It's fucking rude. It's what it is. It's hurtful. And I love that moment where she has, like, this stare off with David. Like, she's looking right at him. She's like, you motherfucker. Do you know what I mean? And he's looking right back at her like, mm-hmm. what? You wanted to leave, so fucking leave. And it's sad. It's really sad because, like you said earlier, they're so fucking stubborn. They know that they both want to be there together doing this, but they're just not allowing them to say the words.
That's right.
You know,
that's
and it's hard to watch.
David struggles with saying he's sorry.
Yeah.
And then Alexa struggles with saying that she was wrong.
Right.
And that she's happy that now it all works out, kind of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they both cannot just be real with each other.
But also Alexis isn't helping the situation because everything from when she accepts the invitation to go to this venue up until, like, this whole thing happens is her just talking about Ted and talking about Galapagos.
Yeah.
I mean, she's taking pictures of them. She's like, Ted wants to know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Hey, this isn't about you and Ted right now. This is about Patrick and David and their wedding. That's what we're here for. So, yeah, you know, to the point that you were making earlier, they both are in the wrong here.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like they're in the wrong, but also they're both coming from places that are understandable and relatable, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, of course, David is hurt that she's leaving and all she can talk about is the fact that she's leaving.
And he says that to her.
Yeah. And of course she's hurt that she's leaving and he seems to be fine with moving forward with all the wedding stuff without her.
Yeah.
You know, of course they're both, like, fucked up about all of it, you know?
But that's why I love Patrick and Stevie so much in this, because they're kind of like, hey, guys, can we get this shit together, please? They both are there for one another, just like when they make David go out there and apologize to her. They're both kind of behind him and like feeding him, like, come on, let's go. And when it's just Alexis and Stevie outside, and Stevie's like, I think this is why your brother's upset. Everything that you're doing right now, this is what is upsetting David. You need to stop and talking about your trip. Stop talking about where you will not be, which is here. Mm-hmm. It's hurting David, to an extent as well. So they're good friends. Got to give it to Patrick and Stevie in this. They're being good friends, good partners.
I don't like Stevie.
Really? Wow, I'm surprised.
I don't like how much joy she's getting out of seeing these two people struggle to be real and, like, not real, but, like, vulnerable with each other. Like, when David can't say the word sorry and he's, like, apologetic and remorseful and she's, like, cracking up and, like, oh, I'm so glad I came here for this or whatever.
Or, like, when she says it's like watching a car crash.
Yeah, when Alexis can't just admit the fact that she fucked up her flight and is actually leaving a month from now. Like, she's just, like, smiling and giddy in the background. And I don't like that color on her. I don't think it's fair.
Interesting.
Like, I get that. I understand that Stevie's the kind of person who has, like, you know, she's got, like, a sarcasm and, like, a dry irony about her and everything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not taking anything away from the character we all know and love. But in this moment when she's seeing the two people, she, well, her best friend and his sister, like, struggle, you know, like, she shouldn't be taking that much glee and enjoyment from it. She should recognize that this is hard for them and help them along, maybe, and, you know, give them like the encouragement to do so.
I think I just chalked it up to her being boozy.
And that's fair, too. She is still boozy.
Yeah, and she's drinking while she's there.
That's true, too. That's right. What do you think about the compliment she starts to give Alexis? Or if it's even a compliment, it's mostly like her just
it's her talking
admitting.
About what she wants to do.
Yeah.
I didn't hear any compliment other than her saying no.
She says to Alexis, like, that she admires the fact that she's able to just go
out.
Does
she say, like, jealous
things?
Or envious somewhere in there?
I think so.
Which is not a compliment.
No.
But, you know, she's giving Alexis credit for taking the risk, I guess, is a good way to put it. But I didn't think it was as deep.
Well, but
and
don't
I don't
you
know
think
if it was meant to
the
be.
It's the planting of the seed, though, for
sure.
Stevie.
Absolutely.
I think that was the beginning of what's going to be her arc for the season.
Right. Which, you know, going back to the word that I chose for this episode, she was another reason I chose it as well, because she was being genuine in that moment. Well, I don't think it was paying her a compliment, Alexis a compliment. I think it was just her being real, like, hey, dude, I admire you for what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I wish I could do that. I hope I could do that. And now that I've done this show, it's given me, you know, the nerve to, like, maybe do it someday and maybe sooner than later. We'll see. So I think her eyes are open to that now and her mind is open to that, the idea of it.
Right.
But I don't know what Alexis is doing sometimes. It's very frustrating watching this whole flight thing. Really got to me.
Really?
It really got to me.
What part about it? Oh, the whole not being able to check in, the dates being wrong and everything?
Like, also, what got to me, if they were trying to make it realistic, like, nobody helped you. Ted, when he didn't help you, like, to figure out what you were going to need to do to get on a plane. Like, nobody gave you an idea. Nobody told you ahead of time what you were going to need to do. Like, they just, you're like a baby. Like, everybody just like, well, here's your ticket. Get on a plane. You know what I mean?
Well, but I actually think that that is part of it, because her sense of flying and travel is very much like she hasn't been on a plane since they had money. So so I think that she probably doesn't have a sense of, like, dress appropriately.
That's what
and,
I'm saying.
Like, buy your ticket and check in 24 hours ahead and all that stuff. Like,
that's what I'm saying. So then knowing that, I'm led to believe that nobody else would see that, especially Ted, who, like, knows he has to hold her hand with a lot of shit.
Yeah, but to be fair, Ted's gone. And had his own shit to deal with, getting there by himself,
well,
setting up the
house. While he was planning everything else about their trip, he couldn't have, like, helped her out with this part?
If nothing else, you think that they would have bought the ticket at the same time. Like, you know what I mean? And that would have been everything you needed to know.
Yeah.
I'd also, for a hot second, I was like, wait a minute. Month before day, does that mean they're not in the U.S.? I thought that was such a big clue. And then it occurred to me that Galapagos is in Ecuador, and usually the ticket dates and stuff are based on the place you're going. And so that doesn't make sense. So whatever. So they could still be in the U.S. is my point.
I don't know. That I could have done, I don't know, without the whole ticket thing.
So basically, Alexis isn't leaving for another month because she done goofed.
Apparently so.
And just as the dominoes all fall into place and they get all excited that they can actually do this thing, they can get this venue for basically free a month from now. Alexis will be there. Everything's good to go. They start to hear the squealing of the pigs.
Now, we text while this was happening.
Oh, God.
And the very first thing I asked you, are those pigs being slaughtered? Oh, yeah. I heard this right. David compared that to babies teething.
1,000 babies teething.
Mm. I don't know what babies he's ever been around that are teething, but oh my God, if a baby sounds like that when it's teething, I would take it to the doctor and I'd be very concerned.
I don't know. What does a baby teething sound like? It just cries,
not like that.
Right?
Oh my God.
I don't know.
That is so crazy to me. And then later on, he says, like, it sounds like gerbils or something.
Guinea pigs
being thrown to a wood chipper.
Which is probably more accurate.
I feel like that one's more accurate. Yeah.
But oh my God.
My God.
As Johnny is serving pork chops.
Awful.
It's terrible. That noise. Can you imagine trying to get married while that noise is happening? Goddamn.
No wonder it should be free. Yeah, it should be 30% off.
You should just close the fucking venue.
You should just be happy that you have anybody there on that day.
Yeah, exactly. Period. Come on.
That is fucking crazy.
That's insane.
He's like, what does he say? This is not what?
This is Clive? Not a winner, Clive. As he's running away
in his culottes.
Mind you, where are they going? The car won't start.
I don't know. Are they just trying to protect themselves?
I guess from just turn up, close the windows.
Baby's teething.
Try to tune it out.
Oh my God.
Alexa says, I can't stop hearing it.
And Clive is just like, they're lurking. And they like pan to the door and he's like, did I hear that it's back on? What the hell?
Clive is such a weirdo.
Yeah, he is. Oh, wait. He can't stand car horns.
He doesn't have a car because he's afraid of car horns.
What? Oh, my God. But let's talk about David's giddiness. He's like, I think this is a winner, Clive. I think this is it, guys. He's just like a million things. And he's just like so giddy cute. And he's jumping. And he's like, I haven't seen
and
him
then Alexis
make this
is
face.
Like, see, David, imagine if I wasn't here for this.
And then his face immediately changes and he's like,
yeah. I'm glad you're here.
David Dan is acting.
Oh, yeah.
In this.
Acting.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have never seen him get that giddy before.
I don't think anything has ever made him, could ever have made him this giddy before.
It's a funny directing yourself and being like, okay, all right, I'm going to jump up and down right now. That was pretty good. Yeah, it was cute. It was cute to watch.
It was
sure.
very cute. And then later when Alexis tells him, like, they can take the venue, and he's like, are we going back in and telling him we got this? Are we talking to Clive? Like,
which they don't do.
No, because that's when the squealing begins.
Yeah, but yeah, I do enjoy a jumpity David.
It's very cute.
It's sweet. And it's very Patrick, cute. Like, whatever makes you happy.
Mm-hmm, okay. I know. My heart.
Okay. Johnny Rose the second.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. David went and got himself a Johnny. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Which proves my point that Johnny or that David is Moira.
Oh, my
and
God.
Moira is David.
Like, dude, that's amazing. I don't think I've ever thought about it that way before. I mean, I know
got himself
haven't.
A Johnny.
Wow. Oh, my God.
I know.
Okay, so cut to, they're back at the motel.
Yes.
They're picnicking outside.
I like when they picnic outside
it.
And
it's
they barbecue.
It's so cute to see them like that. Just like being a family, you know? It's very cute.
Well, it sounds to me like you two dodged a bacon-wrapped bullet. I'll say it again, life is but a strand of happy accidents.
You've never said that before.
It's such great news about the film, Mrs. Rose. Like, Interflix is huge.
Oh, wait till our movie drops. So, I just talked to Ted. He's devastated, obviously, but he did say that it's probably for the best because he still hasn't lizard-proofed his place, and I have absolutely no desire to be there until that happens.
You see? Further proof that life is but a...
Okay, we get it.
...strand.
Well, I, for one, am happy to have you for another month, Alexis.
Hey.
Thank you.
What if we got married here? What if we got married under a highway overpass?
I'm serious. This place means something to you guys. Put a tent in the back, string up some lights. You can make it beautiful.
I'll think about it.
Okay.
Oh, in other news, your father was arrested for indecent exposure.
Ew, I'm eating.
Moira. Okay, there's no backing out now.
Okay. So apparently Moira is Bob Ross.
Happy accident. Yes. I was like, what? Is she wearing a Bob Ross wig?
That would have been so clutch, though, if they had her wearing a little mini fro like that. Oh, amazing.
You mean Cindy?
There you go. But yeah, it's... So there's that.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I don't think you've ever said that.
The hell?
But Patrick comes up with a pretty decent idea.
So they're going to get married at the motel.
Yeah, I know. Mean, right? It's pretty much like, duh.
It's perfect.
It really is.
It's more them than the Elmbridge Manor was. Well, that would have been lovely. I mean, Patrick is absolutely right. David could do an amazing job at making that place look better. I mean, yeah. All he needs to do is put his David touch on things and...
Oh, yeah. I mean, he turned Mutt's barn into a beautiful place for Moira's party.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's working with, like, an existing structure that he had to work around. If they put up a tent that he can do whatever he wants with, oh, baby, like, here we go. We got this.
Yeah. And Patrick's right. That place has meant so much to them. So how perfect.
I know.
Oh,
I do love David's rebuttal to it, though. What if we get married underneath the highway overpass?
Yeah, and then Moira has to bring up how Johnny got arrested for indecent exposure. Oh, and poor David. That's how I love it. Again, full circle with this episode. He's like, it's too late to back out now. I mean,
this is what you're marrying into.
Yep.
What I love about that, too, though, is like at this point, I think Patrick knows what he's marrying into.
I mean, you know, it's David.
Yeah. And it's his family. It's, like, you know these people right by now.
Yeah. He's not shocked.
No.
I don't think anything is shocking Patrick anymore.
But I do actually think it's cute, though, because it does speak to the fact that, like, their relationship has entered a new phase. Like, up to this point, they were just dating, you know, and now they're, like, getting married. Like, it's forever, you know? I think for David, it's like real that he's part of the family now.
Yeah.
And so he's very like aware of what his family must look like to the outside world, you know?
This is good. You know, it was nice, solid premiere episode.
Yes. Definitely lots of setting up to do.
Yeah. So any stray observations that you would like to discuss?
I've got a couple of additional Moira say what's.
Yes,
that
we do.
We didn't address over the course of our discussion. So one is when she's outside of the motel post the smoke and the fire, talking to Johnny and Roland in a bit of a haze.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking about how, you know, we expect to be carried out of the ashes by the goddess Artemis. But here I've been given a balatron by Barnum and Bailey. A balatron is a buffoon who speaks nonsense and is characterized by self-indulgence.
Well, there you go. Roland.
I mean, literally, you could have put Roland's picture next to that in the fucking dictionary.
Yeah.
Like that the is specificity of not just a buffoon, but like one who is characterized by self-indulgence as he's talking about how he's trying to eat a toaster pop and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's so clever. It's so spot on. And then the second or the next third one, I suppose, is after they've been or after Johnny's been picked up by the cop at the creek and, you know, tells Moira that this is what's happening. She tells him that she will make sure to keep her husband habilimented going forward. And it's so simple, but it's such a like specific choice of word.
Yeah.
Habiliments just means clothing. And so clothed. That's what she means. But she can't just say clothed.
No.
It's habilimented. What? I love you.
I love it. I love it.
Oh, I love you, Moira Rose. But yeah, no, beyond that, I don't really have any other stray observations. What about you?
No, I don't think so. I think we covered it. Did pretty well for this being a brand new episode.
Oh, yeah.
So should we get into our second segment of the episode?
Let's do it.
Who wore what best?
Whoop, whoop.
I have to start this off by saying that this was very difficult.
Me too.
This whole episode was like one fashion statement after another. And I don't think that I've ever had a harder time trying to decide. Well, you know, at first I wanted to give it to a wet and sexy Johnny Rose, but then I thought, maybe I should do some actual style. Yeah, it was hard. But at the end of the day, the one thing that I couldn't stop thinking about and stop looking at is fucking Moira in her white dress and that chonke necklace. Those tights, the knee-high leather boots, and her little parasol, black and white, fingerless leather gloves. I mean, she looked fucking amazing. She honestly, like, this is an outfit. I would fucking love to wear that outfit. It's beautiful. I couldn't take my eyes off that necklace, honestly.
Yeah.
It's pretty gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly. I know that it's a heart and it's an eye. I want to say that top one is a crow.
Oh, interesting.
I could be wrong. If anybody knows what that is, please, by all means, correct me. But it looks like a crow that's facing down, like is okay. going in.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Diving?
Right.
Okay.
That's what it looks like to me.
Interesting. I'd have to get
now,
a second look at it now.
I kept looking at it. And it, I don't know. It could be a million things, but that's what it looked like to me. But whatever. It's an amazing outfit. She looks absolutely stunning in it. So I had to give it to that.
I will say about Moira and her wigs and her outfits, I believe it was the LA Times' article that came out just before this, the episode did, I think Monday or Tuesday this week. The person who wrote the article was like spoke to Catherine for like half a second, you know, as part of the interview or as part of the article, and was saying how because her wigs and outfits are considered spoilers, before they shoot, she's covered up. Like they'll put her in an extra jacket and a hat and stuff because they don't want any part of her ensemble to like be revealed before. God. Which initially when I read that, I was like, okay, that all that tells me is that there is like if we go back through every episode of the show and just look at Moira's outfit choices and wigs and stuff, there is a story in and of itself being right. told there. Like I think it takes maybe somebody smarter than me to like figure all that out, like to understand like fashion and what this color wig versus this style of wig and this color choice and this outfit choice means. But I do believe that there is some sort of an arc to the fashion choices for Moira over the course of the seasons. If they're going so far as to like hide them because it's considered a spoiler.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just know that all of her outfits are fucking brilliant. Every single time.
True.
What?
I know.
To nail it every single episode like that, it's...
Yeah, I know.
They got it right. They really did. This needs to be O'Hara's era this year, please. Can we?
Please,
can we
O'Hara's
just...
era.
This weekend.
What?
Critics' Choice Awards.
Ah!
On Sunday.
Oh, but so by the time this comes
aired,
out... Yeah.
Yeah, this we'll will come out the we'll next know. Day. Yes. So we'll know. We'll know.
Era.
I'm just saying, man. Can somebody?
It's got to be. It's. I mean, come on.
They're all four of them are nominated.
I know.
The show's nominated itself. I just need Catherine to get it.
At this point, yeah. I really just want her to win. Because,
I mean,
come
let's
on.
Go.
Because, come on.
Fleabag won enough.
Yeah, for real, though.
Please. JLD knows what it is to hold one of those awards. Like, let's just
is
go.
Is she nominated again, too?
Yeah.
Ugh. All right.
Maisel nominated.
Ugh. All right. I mean, we get it, man. They've already won things.
That's what I'm saying.
I know. We got to have Catherine.
But I also want to I low-key want Dan. I really want to see him up
I
there.
I really do, too. Oh, I really want Dan to win
I know.
An award
Could you imagine
for
if
acting.
The show itself won?
Well, it's already won a lot of different things, the show. You know,
yeah.
not like Emmys and stuff, but like
That's
I think
I'm
it's
saying.
Probably already won a Critics' Choice Award. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe not. But I really do want Catherine to be acknowledged for something.
Yes.
This year. Honestly, I'd rather she get an Emmy than a Critics' Choice, if that's the case.
Well, yeah.
But,
I just don't understand how somebody could be so brilliant and that talented and that fucking amazing.
I know. And how
and
you
like,
can't give it to her.
Right.
Or how you don't give it to
how
her.
How do you justify that?
I know.
How do you justify not giving Catherine O'Hara an award for for playing Moira Rose?
I don't know.
That is possibly the most brilliant character on television.
Yeah. I know.
Guys, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I mean... We could all argue that like award shows are like pointless and stupid and don't actually mean anything. But since we're still going to do them and since
we're
still going to do them, then we should be starting to give things to the show because let's go.
What are we doing?
Right.
So you still have your Who Are
What
Best.
So my Who Are What Best goes to none other than David and his hilariously huge shorts. Actually, his whole outfit.
Right.
Because I also really love that sweater that he's wearing. Like the torn thing with the oversized button-down shirt underneath it and those hilarious pants with the white grid. Like, they're just, it's just perfection.
This is why you didn't speak too much to what I was saying earlier.
Did I? Did I not?
You were just, you gave me this grin like, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I didn't know. I guess so.
No, I loved it.
But yeah, I don't know. I just loved
good choice.
It. I had because there was like the obvious choices for me were like Moira's amazing dress, Alexis's entire fucking getup. Yeah. Even Stevie looked good. Like yeah. I really liked the bagginess of her jeans and stuff. But like
Patrick's pants were exceptionally tight.
I noticed that too. He's very tight in this episode. I don't think I've ever seen him in that like
those jeans cinched. Were tight.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But you know, I mean, it had to be David.
Nice.
So,
well, there you go. So before we get into this ratings, I wanted to do something because we actually had a lot of people reaching out to us about this premiere episode. Cause we put it on our story on Instagram and on Facebook and we asked what they thought. And let me tell you, people had no problem. letting us know. And I like that. I really appreciated
that's the benefit of this season and the way that we're doing that. Like, we can do that now.
Yeah.
You know, we can have our listeners like submit questions or their thoughts before we sit down to record. And that's a fun thing.
Let me read just a couple. I'm not going to read them all because there's too many.
Okay.
But I want to read just a few that some people sent to us. And I won't say names because I don't know if you want me
that's
saying.
Fair. That's true. Yeah, because they took the time to like DM us and not just post in the comments.
Yes.
So that's fair.
So, yeah, by all means, if you want to claim it, go ahead and claim it. If you want to let us know that you want us to say your name, you could do that too. So we had one listener say, loved it. The whole toaster fire thing confused me, but I'm thinking it is set up for something to come. It wasn't sappy and overly concerned with being the final season, which I appreciated. We don't need that shoved down our throats. We know the end is near. Overall, a good episode to set up for future episodes.
I completely agree with that.
I do too. I appreciated very much how they didn't focus on this is the end kind of a thing.
Yeah, it doesn't have that sappy, nostalgic quality to it yet, you know?
Well, they still did certain things for the fans, you know, kind of feel-good little things.
Sure.
They're very good at doing that. Dan, especially because he wrote, you know, and he directed this episode, he just did an excellent job with it at making it funny.
Yeah.
For comedy's sake.
Definitely brought the humor.
Yeah, for sure. We have another one that says, I think damn it is the most that we'll ever hear Patrick swear. Hashtag let Patrick say fuck 2020. I like that.
I've never thought about it, but it's true.
Yeah.
Patrick doesn't swear.
No.
I feel like he said shit or damn it before, though.
I don't know I've ever heard him say shit.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
I don't know that I've ever heard him
say
shit.
It's very possible. I think I might just be like wanting to imagine that that's true, you know?
Okay. Here's one that I felt. I loved being back with our beloved characters, but this episode felt a bit faster paced and more unrealistic than the others. A smoke alarm pulls Moira out of her dark place.
See?
Stevie openly compliments Alexis. Alexis can't get a new ticket. I miss the familiar interaction with the townspeople. I wish I could be patient and watch a string of episodes together because it's best when binged. Yeah. Overall, still enjoyed, but maybe my expectations for one episode were too high. Yes, I agree with a lot of that.
Yeah.
I do feel like at some points it felt a little bit too crammed.
Yes.
You know, like they like, were boom, boom, trying boom, boom, to boom, do boom. Too much in one episode.
And I also appreciate this listener's thoughts about the fact that, like, because there was so much anticipation going into the start of the season and we've been waiting for so long for it to get back into it, I think you can't help but be a little bit disappointed because you set those expectations too high. You know what I mean? Like, there's always going to be some of that.
Had another listener, perfect first episode.
Aw.
There you go. And another one, can we talk about Clive? Many, many questions. Also, Alexis and Sean Penn.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let us never forget that.
Also, in the first scene, my heart went out to David for trying to steer Patrick away from his crazy family in case he changed his mind.
Aww, imagine Patrick changing his mind.
No. Then at the end, there's no going back now. Strong start to the season. I love wiggly giggly David. Kudos to Dan on his solo directorial debut.
Yes.
Yeah. So those are just a few.
Yes. Thank people you nailed guys it for writing in.
Yeah.
With your thoughts.
Yeah. So with that, keep let's get into. Oh,
from
please.
Now for, like, we should do that every
I think
episode.
So. I think so.
Do
I
a prompt in our stories to get people talking.
Message us. Whatever you want to do. Email
and let
us
know. And let us know if we can say your name.
Sure. Yeah, we'd love
give
to.
You credit.
If you're comfortable with that, we'd love to. Mm-hmm. If you want to get into even more detail, email us.
Yeah.
You know, we're all about you guys sharing ooh, yeah, your thoughts and your ooh, opinions. Yeah. So with that, let's get into our final segment.
Ratings. So for me, and I really hope I don't get any vitriol from the internet uh-oh for this, but I stand by it. So who cares? I'm giving this episode 3 out of 5 slippers and mimosas because, as we've discussed, it's maybe not a perfect episode.
Sure.
Does it deliver on the front of we're right back in it, we're opening the season, it's the beginning of the end? Yes. Does it deliver on humor and like the comedic bits? Yes. Mm-hmm. But was it like the most amazing thing that's ever existed in this show? No. And so for that, it's slightly above average. And I'm giving it a 3.
Okay, fair.
So that's my rating.
That is fair. For me, I'm going to give this episode a 4 out of 5 bacon-wrapped bullets. I think what's making me or leading me to give this a 4 is my excitement and anticipation for this episode, for the premiere. So I was really happy to sit there and like do this all over again with a brand new episode with the roses and with, you know, everybody. But there were a few things that wouldn't let me give it a 5. Mm-hmm. And I think that the listeners kind of nailed it where it did feel very crammed. It felt like there was a lot to take in one episode, mm-hmm, especially a premiere. There were a lot of maybe one too many like aha moments. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whoa, I can't. I'm losing track of who's having their moment, you know?
Yeah.
But also, there were some things where I'm just like, buy it. Like I said, the whole Alexis ticket thing, that was just like, no. The Moira having that epiphany about how everything's going to be different and change. Now, again, is that going to play into the storyline? And to probably.
Right.
Certain it will. But I don't know. I just think for a premiere, it was a lot. It was a lot. Too much too soon, maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think for me, 4 out of 5. This feels so good.
It does.
Oh, geez.
It does and it doesn't.
I know.
Not that it feels bad, but it's just like it there's feels a lot very, of pressure.
There is a lot of pressure, but it also there's that sense of like it being a little bittersweet.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm trying not to think about it that way just yet.
This is the last season premiere.
I know.
That will ever, ever, ever.
Well, now I'm there. Now I'm in the better
now you're
place
thinking about it.
God damn it.
But you know what? I mean, we knew this was coming, and we all knew this was coming.
You know.
And it's excited. It's exciting. We should think about it that way.
That's right.
I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be once again talking about a brand new season. Just excited to see where this is going to go. Really, honestly. Mm-hmm. Every week, that anticipation. Yeah, so,
okay. That's going to do it for this one.
I think so.
As always, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on social media at Upshits Creek Pod on Instagram and Facebook and at Upshits Creek on Twitter. You can also subscribe to our Patreon where you'll get extended episodes one day early. And till next time.
We love you, shitheads. Kiel Vaj.
Blessings. This episode is brought to you by the generous donations of Emily and Lucina.
Well, hello, you.